And then the blood of Christ can save every time. Nothing wrong with his faith. It was what he had his faith in. So it's using your faith aright. Now, the plan of salvation is that God has sent his Son into the world to take our sin upon himself and deal with that thing called sin and take it to judgment and die under the judgment of God for our sins. That's the plan of salvation. That's not the way of salvation. That's the plan of salvation. Now, the way of salvation is, how do I get in on that plan? How do I get the benefits out of that? The fact that Christ died for the sins of the whole world doesn't mean that the whole world's saved. That's the plan. That's God's provision for sinners. But how do I get in on that plan? I don't think there's any problem in the professing Christian world about the plan of salvation. I think about every so-called Christian church in our land. His Son into the world to take our sin upon himself and deal with that thing called sin and take it to judgment and die under the judgment of God for our sins. That's the plan of salvation. That's not the way of salvation. That's the plan of salvation. Now, the way of salvation is, how do I get in on that plan? How do I get the benefits out of that? The fact that Christ died for the sins of the whole world doesn't mean that the whole world's saved. That's the plan. That's God's provision for sinners. But how do I get in on that plan? I don't think there's any problem in the professing Christian world about the plan of salvation. I think about every so-called Christian church in our land will tell you that Jesus died on the cross for sinners and was buried and rose again the third day. They know the plan of salvation. What most people don't understand is how to get in on that plan. Now, they tell me there's some oil off here, off of Newfoundland somewhere, off under the water there somewhere. They're out there digging and drilling, and they're finding oil. And I have no problem in believing that there's oil out there. But listen, if they had to depend on me to get that oil out of there and get it ashore, I'm afraid they'd never get a drop of oil in Newfoundland. I don't know how to get down there. There's lots of silver and there's lots of gold in the earth. I don't know how to get it out. There are lots of fish in the sea. But if you gave me a boat and sent me out fishing, I'd like to come back with not too many fish. I don't know how to get them out. It's one thing to know that there's fish in the sea. It's another thing to know how to get those fish. It's one thing to know there's silver in the earth, another thing to know how to mine that and get it out of the earth and refine it, make it worth something. And it's one thing to know the plan of salvation, but it's another thing to know the way of salvation, how to get in on the plan. If you go back in the book of Exodus chapter 12, and there's a wonderful plan there God had to save the firstborn from death. He said, you take a lamb, you kill the lamb. And you take the blood of that lamb, catch it in the basin. The plan was that instead of the firstborn dying, the lamb would die in its stead. That was the plan. But how are we going to make that plan work? Well, you've got to take the blood and put it on the door casings. You've got to apply the blood on the door casings. The blood in the basin couldn't save. It had to be put on the door casings to save. Well, the lamb died, the firstborn would have died too, had they not put the blood on the door casings. God said, when I see the blood, not in the basin, but applied on the door casings of the houses, I'll pass by that house. So the way of salvation is God's gracious provision for us in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord's salvation. That's the plan. But the way of salvation is faith That's how we get in on the plan. Faith. Now, there are four kinds of faith mentioned in the Bible. Four aspects of faith mentioned in the Bible. Three of these won't save. One of them will. I want to talk about those three. The first one I'm going to read about is in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and it's the only time that faith is mentioned in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 20, we read this. The latter part of verse number 20. God says, here in Deuteronomy 32 and the latter part of verse number 20, that they were a generation of children in whom is no faith. Now, here are people that had no faith. Now, needless for me to say, that kind of faith won't save. No faith. Now, that didn't mean they didn't believe there was a God. That's an atheist. Well, I guess the Bible word for that fellow is a fool. There's a fool that said in his heart, there is no God. We call them atheists. God calls them fools. Now, these people most certainly believed there was a God. They had seen some of his marvelous works. They had experienced a lot of his marvelous works. And it wasn't a question of them that believing that there wasn't a God. But I want to point out why God said they were children that had no faith. And if you fall under this category tonight, then you're a person that has no faith. Though you might believe there is a God, and though you might believe Christ died on the cross, you still haven't got any faith if you fall under this category of people in Deuteronomy 32. Now, there are two things that characterize these people in relationship to God that made God say they had no faith. One is in verse number 18, they forgot God that formed them. They had forgotten God in their thinking. That is, they lived day by day without even thinking about God and about the Lord. Oh, yes, they believed there was a God in the heavens. And they believed much about that God. They may have believed that the law that God had given them on Mount Sinai was a genuine law, and it was the law of God, but they forgot God in their thinking. They forgot all about Him. Do you live without ever thinking about God? In verse 18 it says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. The word forgot there doesn't mean that they never thought that there was a God or anything like that. It means that they didn't remember to give Him any attention. They lived as if He wasn't there. Do you live like that? A lot of people in this area that do. It's very evident from their lives that they do. They live as if God is never there. They go on blaspheming the name of the Lord. They don't believe God's ever going to judge them for that. They wouldn't go out in front of a policeman and parading up and down 90 miles an hour on the streets. They know they can get away from that. But somehow they believe they can get away from blaspheming the name of God, or living in adultery, or being dishonest, or being a drunkard. Somehow they think they can get away with that. They forgot all about God. They don't give God any attention. That's characteristic of a person that's no faith. No faith. And of course the next one is obvious. In verse 15, Jeshurun, that's Israel or Jacob, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. To forget God is to in your mind is to forsake Him in your ways. That is, you live as if there never was any laws to live by. You forsake God in all of His ways. You give God no place in your life or no place in the habits of life. That's characteristic of a person that has no faith. Now, there are quite a few people around like this that have no faith. They just don't give God any attention, and they just don't pay any attention to the ways of the Lord. That's a kind of faith that can't save. Though you might believe, mentally agree that there is a God, you might mentally agree that the Bible is the Word of God, and you might give mental assent to the fact that Jesus died for sinners, but you do absolutely nothing about it. It doesn't bother your time or bother your life or change your ways. It does absolutely nothing. You've got no faith. No faith. Children in whom there is no faith. Not too many so-called atheists in the world. I remember one time I went to a funeral of a man that was an atheist. He was a millionaire. And he wrote his own funeral sermon. Several pages, had them all typed out before he died. And in the introduction of his little sermon, a little speech that somebody read at the funeral for him, he said, I don't want any prayers said at my funeral because I don't believe in God. I don't want the name of God mentioned. I don't want any clergymen there. I don't want any music or any hymns or any prayers or any mention of the Bible there because I don't believe in any of that. And he had his own sermon written out. Of course, he wasn't a good atheist because in his little message that he had little doubts. He kept saying, if there is a God, well, I know he'll be good to me because I've helped the Red Cross and I've done this and I've done something else. He was a man that claimed to have no faith in God, and he most certainly evidently didn't have any faith in God, but you don't have to be like that man to have no faith in God. You just don't give God any attention in your life and you forsake God in his ways, that's a person in whom there is no faith. Let me ask you, you here tonight? Without any faith? How much place, how much attention do you give to the God that formed you? How do you walk in his ways? Do you forsake him in his ways and forget him in your thinking? That's characteristic of a person that has no faith. Now the next kind of faith that once saved is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we want to read about another kind of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now here's a vain faith. This is no faith, this is not no faith rather, this is a vain faith. The word vain simply means it's empty, it's void, it has no value to it. It's worthless, in other words. It's faith, but it's worthless faith. It won't get you anything. It's just plain worthless. Now, what he's talking about here is this. If Christ died on the cross, as is stated in verse 3, that he died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried, but he never rose again from the dead. Then he said, you're putting your faith in a vain gospel. You're putting your faith in a dead Christ. And he says, that he can't save. And that kind of a Christ can't save. The gospel, beloved, isn't how he died for our sins and was buried alone. It's how he arose again on the third day. He's a living Savior, not a dead Savior. He was crucified. He's not. You could never say he is crucified. He was only crucified for 3 days, and he rose again the third day. Now Paul says, if Christ be not risen, then we're preaching an empty gospel, and you're trusting in an empty gospel that can't save. Nothing wrong with their faith, but they're putting it in an object that couldn't save, a dead Christ. And that would get them nothing. Let me illustrate. You go down, I think it's what, Long Island Cove there? There's a nice big pond out there. You have to circle around out going along the highway. Now you might go down there and there might be ice there a quarter of an inch thick. And you might believe with all your heart that ice will hold you up. But you walk out on that ice, you're going to get wet. Nothing wrong with your faith, but there's something wrong with that ice. It won't hold you up. A quarter of an inch of ice won't hold you up. See, you're putting your trust in something that is vain. It won't hold you up. It'll let you down. Suppose you wanted to walk across the river. And there was a plank there. An old rotten plank. Had been there for years. And you could see the rot all around it. And you say, well, I believe that plank will take me across. You can be as sincere as you like, and you can believe all you like that plank will take you across, but you walk out on that plank, you get wet every time. It'll break. That's a vain faith, because God did a vain thing. Nothing wrong with the faith. It's what you got your faith in. Take the same faith and put it in a good plank, it'll get you across every time. Take the same faith and put it in ice that thick, and you can walk across the pond. But the same faith in ice that thick, and you'll get wet. See? The object that you're trusting in is vain. See? See, faith can't save anybody. I'm not saved by my faith. Not because I've got faith. I'm saved because I've got Christ. If I took the same faith that I have in Christ and put it in myself, it wouldn't save me. Or put it in the Pope, it wouldn't save me. Or put it in a preacher, it wouldn't save me. Or put it in a religion, it wouldn't save me. But take the same faith and put it in Christ, it saves. What's the difference? It's the object of my faith. Faith is like the wire that brings the electricity into this building. You can't get any light out of those things hanging up on the ceiling. You go cut the hydro wires coming into this building and you can flick that switch all night and you won't get a bit of light. You can't get light out of a wire. That wire has got to be hooked up to a hydro plant somewhere where they're producing something. Disconnected on the other end and we're in darkness. Like the pipe that brings the water into the building. You can't get any water out of a pipe. You get it through a pipe. But that pipe's got to be hooked up into a well somewhere. Then you can pump the water in. But take the pipe out of the well and you'll pump all day. And you'll get no water because there's no water in the pipe. That's like faith. There's no salvation in faith. Salvation is in Christ through faith. But it's not in faith. When you want to find out if you're saved, don't look to see if you got faith. Look to see if you got Christ. For it's Christ that saves. You're trusting your faith in Christ. Not the faith, but faith in Christ that saves. A vain faith. If you're trusting in your goodness, then you've got a vain faith. If you're trusting in your works, you've got a vain faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with good works. Not a thing. Every Christian should have good works. We're created in Christ Jesus under good works. And we're told in Titus that we're to be careful to maintain good works. And not a thing wrong with having good works, but it's absolutely wrong to put your faith in your works. That's a vain faith. The Pharisee went up in the temple And he stood and he prayed and he said, I thank thee, God, I'm not like other men are. I'm not an unjust man. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm not an extortioner. I'm not even like this old publican over here. I give a tenth of all that I possess. And I fast twice a week. That was a man who had a vain faith because had it in himself. Nothing wrong with his faith. Had it in himself. In fact, the Lord gave that parable to certain people that trusted in themselves. See, that's a vain faith. To trust in your works, to trust in a religion, is vain. That's all vain. It won't save. That's a kind of faith that won't save. No faith. Those are people that give no attention to God. They forget about Him and they forsake Him in His ways. That's no faith. That won't save. A vain faith, trusting in anything else apart from the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and that precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary and that risen, ascended, glorified Lord who is now in glory, trusting in a Savior that died, was buried, and risen again. Anything outside of that is a vain faith. It'll let you down. It'll never get you in. So that's a vain faith. Now in James chapter 2, we have another kind of a faith. In James chapter 2, and verse number 26, we have another kind of faith. Now here it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is a dead faith. A dead faith. A faith that has no activity to it. A faith that has no life to it. A faith that's passive. You know, this kind of easy believism. Oh, yes, I agree that Christ died for people for me on the cross. And it's just an easy believism. Probably just signing a card or saying a little prayer or something like that. And it's just so easy. That kind of a faith that produces nothing. It's dead. A passive faith. You know the word faith in the Bible is a verb. And a verb, at least when I went to school, I didn't go too far. Maybe they've changed it in our modern day. But a verb used to be an action word when I went to school. But that part of a sentence that expressed the action involved in the sentence. And faith is it's a verb in the Bible. It's a very active word. It means a very firm persuasion, a very firm conviction that you act upon. You know, salvation isn't by works. But salvation works. It works. If you've got a kind of salvation or a kind of faith that doesn't work, and you haven't got the kind of faith the Bible talks about. If you had an old car that wouldn't work, you'd run it in the junkyard and get it out of the way. It's no good to you. You had an old washing machine, you sisters or ladies had an old washing machine that didn't work, you'd throw it in the scrap heap. If you've got a faith that doesn't work, you haven't got the kind of faith the Bible, that's a dead faith. It's like a body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. In other words, it isn't moral works. It isn't works that will merit or earn you anything. It's just the activity of faith. Two illustrations James gives here. He gives an illustration of Abraham who took his boy up on Mount Moriah one day in obedience to God and was going to offer him up as a sacrifice to God. Nothing of a moral nature. In fact, it was contrary to the law of God to kill that boy. But there's some activity to Abraham's faith. There's action to his faith. It wasn't just an easy believism. There was some activity there. Some people have a kind of faith, a dead faith, a kind of faith, like the great French tightrope walker that walked across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And as he walked across that tightrope and the crowds watched him, and as he got to the other side, they all cheered and they all said they agreed he could do it. And he walked back again, and they all believed he could walk back, and they cheered again. And they asked, and he asked them, "Do you think I could take a man across on my back?" And they all said, "Yes, you could take a man across on your back." "Okay," he says, "somebody be that man." Nobody got on his back. That's a dead faith. That's a dead faith. You know, some people have the kind of faith, like an old lady when I was a very young boy, when my old uncle, one of the first men that had a car in the village that I lived in, when I was a very wee small boy, and he went to pick up this old lady one time, and she said, "No," she said, "I don't want to ride. I'm in too much of a hurry." See? She believed the car would take her there, but she ended up walking. She didn't trust the car. Now, if you went down to that pond down there and that ice was there and it was that thick and you believe, you said, "I'm absolutely certain that ice will take me across the other side and I want to go across the other side." And you stood there and looked at that ice and you looked and you said, "Yes, I agree with it." A car come along and said, "What are you looking at?" "Well, I'd like to go across the other side." "Well, you think the ice will take you?" "Oh, yes, I believe the ice will take me across, and I want to go across. I want to get across on the other side." And somebody else comes along, "What are you waiting there for?" "Well, I'd like to go across on the other side." "Well, the ice is quite thick. Why don't you wait?" "Yes, I believe the ice will take me across." But you stand there. That's a dead faith. That's a dead faith. Your faith is only active when you walk out on the ice. That's active faith. A dead faith agrees, but doesn't do anything about it. I never like to hear anybody say that all you have to do to be saved is just believe. Just believe. It's like you putting down there one of the old-fashioned 100-pound bags of flour down there on the platform and telling me all you've got to do is just bend over and lift it up. That's going to take everything I got and probably more at my age to get that off the floor. And that's the way it is with believing. It's going to take everything you got, this business of believing. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, when Philip said to the eunuch this, he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," not half of it, or your head, it's all the heart. You know, it doesn't take very much faith to save, but it takes all you got. It takes every bit you got. You can't reserve one little bit of your faith and be saved. I've got a wife, we've been married for nearly, I guess, 40 years, coming this April. I've been away from home a lot. And I trust my wife 100%, and she trusts me. But you know, if I trust in my wife 99%, I don't trust her, do I? And if she said, "Well, now, Harold, I trust you 99%, I'm going to have to say, "Well, you don't trust me." See, 99% trust isn't trust at all. It's rank unbelief and doubt. This business of trust has got to be 100%. Dead faith. Dead faith. James says, "You say you've got faith. Can faith say you've got faith? Save me." He says, "You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my activity. There'll be some life to mine. It's active." A dead faith. We've got a world full of people, I believe, with a dead faith. They agree, but there's no life. There's nothing there. That's a dead faith. Now in Galatians chapter 5, we've got the real faith, the kind of faith that saves. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6. The latter part of verse 6. A faith which worketh by love. A faith which worketh by love. That's an active faith. That's a faith that's alive. That's a faith that's got activity to it. It's a faith that has evidences to it. It has something external about it. Faith is in the heart, but it shows on the outside. That's real faith. That's the kind of faith that saves. I call it live faith, in contrast to the dead. That's the only kind of faith. It's a faith that acts. The works here, it just simply means it's operative. It's active. It's doing something. It's got life to it. Now, my wife, she likes flowers. She plants quite a few flowers and a bit of shrubbery around, and I do a little bit of that at home, too. We put out a few cherry trees recently and some lilac bushes and a few things like that, and raspberry bushes and blueberry bushes. And we plant a few of these things. And we put them in the ground, and every once in a while, we'll go out and give them a little bit of water, and we look those things over, and we see if there's any sign of life there. And when the leaves start to wilt and they fall off and the stem starts to get dry from the top, it gets brittle and it goes right down to the ground, as brittle as it can be, we come to the conclusion that that thing is dead. But you know, when the leaves start coming out and the buds start coming out and it starts to take life and it starts to grow, we come to a conclusion that thing's alive. That's the way it is with faith. You got the kind of faith that's alive? That's the only kind that'll save. A dead faith can't save. And a vain faith can't save. And no faith can't save. The only kind of faith that can save is that live kind of faith. That active kind of faith. That shows some sign of life to it. You know, if you walked along the street tonight and you saw a man lying in the ditch and you looked the man over and he didn't move and he was lying there in his face and you feel of him and he's cold and there's no sign of life there, you feel there's no pulse, there's no heartbeat, you just come to a logical conclusion, the man's dead. But if there's a little bit of warmth there, and a little pulse there, and a little movement there, you conclude the man's still alive. Now that's the way it is with faith. How much life is there in your faith? I'll tell you what faith, where faith is, and how it works, and the first evidences of faith is in Romans chapter 10. My brother was reading some of that, I believe. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 8, we read this. In Romans 10 and verse number 8, what saith it? Notice this, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That's where faith is. Faith is in two places in a person. It's in our mouth and it's in our heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To me, the first activity, the first sign of life to faith is when you start confessing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. When I was saved, I suppose I was saved just prior to that, but I must say I never really had the certainty of salvation until I confessed Christ as my Savior. And that's biblical, because verse 10 says, it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto or about that salvation. Confessing Christ as your Savior is the first evidence of a live faith. Now, if you haven't got it in your heart, it's no good to confess it with your mouth. That's the evidence without the faith. It's got to be in the heart. So the poor sinner that comes and puts their trust 100% in the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on the cross and confesses Him with their mouth, they're showing evidence of the live faith, the real faith. Then they go on from there. You don't stop there. You keep on going. It's continually confessing Christ to others, letting others know that you're saved, and of course, reaching out to them that they too might be saved. It's sad that some believers' faith is so lifeless that they rarely confess salvation to other people. And yet people all around us are dying in their sins. And we probably assume that they know that we're saved, and we don't confess Christ to them with our mouth. The Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." In 1 John it says, "Whosoever confesseth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." That's the first evidence of real faith. You express it with the tongue. Faith is in the heart. The word of faith is nigh unto thee. Where is it? It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. That's the evidence of real faith. Let me ask you tonight, have you got that real faith? Or have you got a dead faith? Or have you got a vain faith? Or have you got no faith? The only kind of faith that will save is the faith which worketh by love. Faith that's got life to it. Faith that's got activity to it. Faith that's got some get up and go to it. And it wants to go on in the ways of the Lord. It's not the activity that saves, it's the faith in Christ. And it's Christ that saves. The activity is the evidence that your faith is alive and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here tonight and you're not saved, then put your trust 100% in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Don't trust anything else. Not a bit of what you are or what you're doing or what you have done or what you're going to do. Don't trust a little bit in that. Don't trust in baptism. Every believer should be baptized, but don't trust in that. A little bit. You'll spoil it. Trust 100% in the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on the cross. That's real faith. That's the kind of faith that has life to it. That's the kind of faith that brings Christ into your life. You'll be able to say like another, "I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Trust in the Lord Jesus. Be saved if you're here tonight and you're not saved. Shall we pray?